Good morning, listeners. Welcome to another edition of Because He Lives. My name is Candace Paris. I'm from the South District Church of the Nazarene. And this morning, here with me is Reverend Linda Wolford Richards. She is a minister in the Church of the Nazarene. And this morning, we want to continue our series, Women Who Don't Quit. And this morning, we will be taking a look at Esther. But before we get into our program today, we just want to open with a word of prayer, asking God's blessing upon you and upon what we will say here this morning.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are privileged to be called your children. We are privileged, God, that you are our Father, our friend, our loving Savior, our counselor, and in you, God, we can find refuge. All of these qualities, God, are important even as we think about quitting and our desire not to quit, but to persevere and to keep going and growing in you. God, we pray that as we explore and as we study your word, that your Holy Spirit will give us wisdom, that your Holy Spirit will guide us, and most importantly, God, that your Holy Spirit will guide the word so that it falls on good soil and that the evidence, God, of your word would be seen in the way that we live and in the way that we interact with you and with others. So may your word produce much fruit in our hearts,
yes,
and
Lord,
in the hearts of the listeners.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. And as we begin this morning, we want to just give a little background as to what is happening in the book of Esther. We see Esther is happening around the time of the Persian Empire. And we see here that the king, King Xerxes, he is in need of a new queen. And the Jews that were still in Persia at the time, we see Mordecai and his niece, Esther. The Bible notes that he has taken her in as his own daughter. And they are in that setting as well. And here we see the king looking for a new queen. And Esther is entered into the royal beauty pageant, so to speak. And she wins. She found favor in the sight of the king. And she becomes queen of Persia. And we want to take a look at what happens after that. We see some trouble brewing as one, the captain of the princes, Haman, starts to dislike Mordecai, Esther's uncle. And in his dislike for Mordecai, he is not only exacting his vengeance on Mordecai himself, but he decides that he wants to annihilate all of the Jews entirely. And this is the background of which Esther is set, when there is a threat against the lives of all the Jews, not only Mordecai, but all of God's people. And throughout the book of Esther, we see her faced with these challenges. And we also see the people of God overcome these challenges, and not in and of themselves, but with God's help. And we are going to examine some of that a little further as we get into what qualities Esther exhibited that makes her a woman who didn't quit.
Awesome.
So as we begin, we have a lot of P's this morning. Our first P is posture in God. And when you think about posture, you think about the way someone stands. You know, when you see someone tall and their shoulders back and their chin held high, you think about posture. But when we're thinking about posture in God in terms of Esther this morning, we want to take a look at her obedience. We want to read Esther chapter 2, verses 10 and verses 20. And I'm reading from the New International Version. It says, Esther had not revealed her nationality and family background because Mordecai had forbidden her to do so. And we're going to read verse 20 as well. This is later down in the chapter. It reads, but Esther had kept secret her family background and nationality, just as Mordecai had told her to do. For she continued to follow Mordecai's instructions as she had done when he was bringing her up. And here we see that even though Esther is queen, she is following Mordecai's instructions, who she would have grown up. She grew up with him as her father figure. She is following his instructions, and he told her not to let anyone know that she is a Jew. And even in her obedience to Mordecai, it's something that we can mimic in terms of our obedience to God, his word, and what the Holy Spirit is saying to us.
Yes, and I think our posture in God, our obedience, is so important when we are faced with situations that may cause us to feel that we need to quit, that we need to give up. Because in those moments, we need to get back to what God has commanded us, what God is saying to us. So, for example, Candace, let's think about women who are struggling in their relationship with their spouse, and they're feeling like their marriage has reached its dead end, that there's no hope, there's no guidance. I think our obedience with God can help to bring fresh revelation and perspective of what God expects. Indeed. So God may be saying, this is what you're seeing, but I want you to love your husband instead. This is how I want you to approach this. I want you to approach this relationship in love. It could be our children, where we feel that we have done the best that we can possibly do as parents. And we're thinking there is no hope, but God may be saying, pray. This is what I want you to do. I want you to pray for them. I want you to nurture them in the word. And so many times our understanding, not just of what God expects, but our obedience to God's commands and his expectations can help us to navigate those very difficult and ticklish aspects of our lives when we hone into what God wants. And so I think that leads us to the other P that we're going to talk about, which gets us to a place where we understand why we need to be obedient and to what we need to be obedient in God.
Very, very much so. So our second P this morning is prayer. We want to read Esther chapter 4, verse 15 to 17. It says, "Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai, 'Go, gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, day or night. And I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish.' And so Mordecai went away and carried out all of Esther's instructions." And I think this is something very, very important in the life of a Christian. It is our relationship with God and our prayer life. Mm-hmm. You always hear the comparison of when you are courting someone, you spend a lot of time talking to them. You spend a lot of time getting to know them. And in we like to simplify prayer as talking to God, but even in that simplicity, understanding that God is the person that you have to go to, I think is the overarching theme coming out in this aspect of prayer. Esther understood the importance of prayer and fasting, humbling yourself before God, making your request known, relying on God as your sustenance, not food, but relying on him, knowing that he can bring you through any situation.
Yes, and I love that. But for me, one of the foundational reasons, because I think prayer can become something that we just do. It's something that becomes a habit, but it has no real essence or value for us. I think we find the value in prayer when we come back to who God is. And when we look at scripture and we see the challenges that the persons in scripture had to deal with, it brings out a lot of the aspects of God. So we learn about God as Jehovah Jireh because we recognize that God is the one who provides. So when we are faced with situations, when we are in need, who do we run to? Jehovah Jireh. Who do we talk to? We talk to that God. When we are faced with challenges of sickness, we go to our healer. And so it comes back to an understanding of who God is that causes us not just to want to pray, but there is a level of hope in our prayer, even in the sacrifices that we have. So for me, I think about prayer many times, reflecting on Jehoshaphat's scenario. When he was faced with an extremely impossible challenge from the perspective of man. But what does he do? He runs back to the God that he knows because he has a relationship with this God, and he talks to this God and he describes the power and the splendor and the majesty of this God. And he says, God, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are upon you. And I see this throughout the book of Esther. Whenever they're faced with a challenge, what do? They go back to the God who their eyes are upon, and they say, God, can you help us with this situation? And so I want us to nurture and continue to develop that relationship. Like Candace said, it's important that we understand the value of closeness and intimacy when we think about talking to God and we think about sacrificing for God. Because it is out of that that we're able to better know God. And the more we know about him, the more we want to talk to him because we realize how awesome he is.
And even coming out of what you said, Linda, in terms of hope, when it is we come into an understanding of who God is because of the time that we are spending in prayer, even though we are faced with situations, we now want to persevere. Because we're not persevering in and of ourselves, but we are not quitting because we know the God that we serve.
Exactly.
And we can only know that through the time that we spend in prayer with him. Okay, we want to go on to our next P this morning. It is patience. So first we had posture in God, we had prayer, and now we're moving on to patience. We want to read Esther chapter 5. We want to read Esther chapter 5 and verse 7. And Esther replied, "My petition and my request is this: if the king regards me with favor, and if it pleases the king to grant my petition and fulfill my request, let the king and Haman come tomorrow to the banquet I will prepare for them. Then I will answer the king's question." And then in the following chapter, we see that Esther has invited the king again and Haman to a second banquet. And which brings us to her patience. I was always baffled about why Esther did not tell the king what was happening the first time around. Mm-hmm. Here we see Haman, who is an enemy of the Jews. He has gotten the king to make a decree that all the Jews be killed. I think it was 11 months down the road. And the opportunity presents itself for Esther to tell the king at once what is happening. Does she do that? No. She says, "King and Haman, you know what? Come to a banquet tomorrow. And then I'm going to tell you." And her patience in this situation and not wanting to rush is something to be admired, even as she seeks to help deliver her people out of this situation.
Yes, but Candice, the thing is that tends to be a natural response when we are faced with troubling situations, when we are in a pickle or we have a challenge. Our natural response is always to want to act. We want to do. We want to get through this. We want to get over it. But I think an important lesson here for us is learning how to slow down, to find those pause moments where we take a break, where we think through what needs to happen, where we go to God again, we pray, we talk to him, we seek counsel, and we see Esther doing this. She finds counsel in Mordecai. She says, "Before we even act on this, let's gather people together and pray and fast about the situation. Before she addresses the problem, let's plan, let's prepare before we just rush in and try to solve the problem." And so I think the important lesson here for us as women, if we're not going to quit, is learning the importance of pausing and of patience and of that, you know, inner stillness and quietness we find in God. Because I don't think we must ever forget that patience is a virtue. It is a fruit of the Spirit. It flows out of our relationship with God. And sometimes our impatience can cause us to miss blessings. It can cause us to miss what God wants to do in the circumstance. It can cause us to rely more on our strength than lean on the direction and understanding of God. And so when whatever it is you are dealing with right now, I think an important lesson is, in which situation or in this situation, how does God want me to pause? Where does God want me to be quiet? Is God asking me to be still right now? And regardless of how long he has us waiting, let's trust that God knows what he is doing and find that quietness in him. I know it's always difficult for us to sit still when the storm is raging around us. How do we do this, Candace? What are your ideas? How can we sit still and be patient and wait in God?
It is something that I deal with personally. Sometimes, and it's not that I don't understand that the God I serve is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all I could ever imagine. But sometimes I just get caught up in, you know, sometimes we have that attitude that God helps those who help themselves.
Yes.
And, you know, well, if I'm faced with this situation, I will do this. Or I'm needing money for this. Okay, I will cut hair and contrive hair. Just thinking that I can do it on my own. But if I am willing to wait on God to see what he would do for me, as I stay and as I listen to him and as I wait for his instruction, the situation always ends up even way better than I could even imagine. So it's a lesson for me not to rush to see what I can do. Mm-hmm. But as Esther waited and she prayed, she spent those 3 days praying and fasting. She waited in terms of her delivery to her request to the king. Let's just wait on God.
Yes, there is tremendous wisdom in patience. And if we're going to be women who don't quit, then we have to find those moments where we just pause and we just allow God to walk us through those situations. Because when we lean on him, when we abide in him, he directs our path. And with the God that we serve, the God who is over all, above all, we say he is omniscient. He knows everything. If he's the one directing us, then he's going to get us through that situation. So wherever you are right now, maybe God is saying, it's time for you to take a pause and just wait on me and lean on me a little bit more.
Amen. Amen. So we have gone through 3 P's so far. Our first P is posture, prayer, patience. And we have 2 P's in this one, kind of. It's when we see Esther transition from a place of persecution to a place of purpose. We want to read Esther chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. And it says, "Then she instructed him to say to Mordecai, 'All the king's officials and the people of the royal provinces know that any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned, the king has but one law, that they be put to death unless the king extends the golden scepter to them and spares their lives. But 30 days have passed since I was called to go to the king.'" And here we see Esther is responding to Mordecai's call for her to go into the king to petition on the Jews' behalf. And Esther is saying, listen, I'm not quite sure about this. You have to be called into the king. And I haven't been called into the king for 30 days. What you're asking me to do can literally cost me my life. And Mordecai's response, it's one that we like to quote a lot in Christianity, that you've been called to the, who knows if you have been called for such a time as this. And after listening to Mordecai's response, we see Esther turn from a place of, okay, I'm fearful for my life, to, you know what, let's pray and let's fast And when that is finished, I'm going to go to the king. And if I perish, I perish. And it's wonderful to see a transition from fear, from persecution, from being fear of being persecuted to a place of, okay, I understand my purpose. And this is what God has called me to do. And I'm going to do it.
Yes. And I strongly believe that that fulfillment and understanding of purpose and navigating persecution is largely connected to how anchored we are in God. Because what Esther brings out for me more than anything else is the fact that God is deliverer, that God is savior, that God gets us through those difficult situations in the way that he was able to save a nation, a people that still exists today. So Esther really highlights the value of trusting God and holding on to God in the midst of hardship and remembering that God never fails us in times of trouble. So whatever challenges we may be facing, it's important for us to abide in God, to trust him. But more than that, it's a recognition, I think like you said, Candace, that God has called us for such a time as this. There are going to be many painful, difficult, challenging situations in our lives. And some of us listening may be in those moments, maybe in the middle of those just tear-jerking, heartbreaking moments. And it's very hard for us to consider, God, have you really called me for such a time as this? What is the value that you're bringing out? And what is it that you want me to accomplish? Or how am I going to see your purpose or your purpose for me in the midst of what I'm dealing with? But again, it comes back to trusting God and saying, God, I may not understand what's happening. I may not like what's happening, but I'm going to trust you because I believe that even in the middle of all of this that I'm facing, that your purposes for me will still be accomplished, that you will still enable me to come out victorious, that you're still going to be my savior through this circumstance and through this situation. And because of that perspective, I think we're able to persevere. We're able to continue. We're able to keep going. It doesn't make it easy, but it gives us the hope and the strength that we need to keep going so that we don't give up in the middle of the challenges that we face.
In terms of being a woman that doesn't quit, I think Esther at that point in time could have easily said, you know what, I am the queen of Persia and he does not know that I'm a Jew and I feel for you.
Yes.
But she embraces who God has called her to be in this time. And she's an example that even though we may be facing tough times and struggles and trials and tribulations, if we have that faith in God, we are able to have that don't quit attitude. Let's do this. With God's help, let's do this. We want to continue on to our next P. This is our final P this morning. It's perseverance. And we are seeing Esther in work here with Mordecai and with the help of the Lord to overcome the situation that they're facing. And if you continue to read chapter 4 or later on in chapter 5, we want to see where Haman was hung on the gallows that he had set for Mordecai. And even in that, I guess someone would have easily said that, you know what, Haman is dead. The man who was the enemy of the Jews, who had planned this entire execution, is dead. But here we see, the Bible notes that the decree that the king had sent out initially cannot be revoked. So Esther now had to, with the help of Mordecai, find another way to help escape the original plan that Haman had. And we see she was able to enact the king to make a second decree that on the day that Haman had planned for everyone to kill the Jews, that the Jews could then defend themselves. But what stands out to me here is her perseverance. The death of Haman was not the end of their troubles, because the decree had already gone out and the death of the Jews was still imminent. She had to go further. She had more work to do in terms of getting the king to reverse or to make another decree so that the Jews will be saved.
Yes, and I think the point here, the bottom line of perseverance, is the attitude or the belief that God is not done with me yet. So wherever we are right now, let us remember that God is not done with you yet. If God isn't finished, if God hasn't given up on you, He is going to send His army. The scripture tells us God has given us every spiritual blessing that we need to make it and to walk and to succeed as Christians. So just remember, when you're thinking about persevering, that God is not done with you yet.
Amen, amen. And as we get ready to go this morning, we want you to remember our five P's in terms of being a woman that doesn't quit. We want to remember your posture in God, prayer, patience, be moving from a position of persecution to purpose, and that we must also persevere. We just want to really thank God for this opportunity to minister to you this morning. We want to thank the sponsors of this morning's program, Federal Motor Spares and the Church of the Nazarene Barbados District. We want to pronounce God's blessings upon you. May you continue to do the will of the Father, and may you continue to be blessed. Linda, last words before we go.
Just a reminder that God is not done with you yet, and that is why we continue and we don't quit.
Blessings on you. Have a wonderful week.